Our lesson this morning has what might be a funny subject title, and I would title The Goats and the Sheep. Now, whenever you find something like that that is there in Scripture, it's not funny. It's a serious subject matter, the goats and the sheep. So fasten your seat belts. Maybe you need to put on a crash helmet because it's a kind of a bumpy road ahead with our subject, the sheep, the goats, and the sheep. We find that in the book of Matthew. If you'll turn in the book of Matthew to chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Beginning with verse 31. Matthew 25, verse 31. And it reads, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in? Or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, in everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered or thirst, or a stranger, or naked or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. Here, the Lord Jesus reveals his foresight of the time just prior to his second coming, the coming itself, and what will happen immediately afterwards, whereby finally he will sit on the throne promised at his birth. And I want to go and look at that. Turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 32. An angel answered, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. So here's a prophecy with regard to what we read there with regard to the future of separating the sheep and the goats. That's at his birth. We also find it with regard to his resurrection. So turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Beginning with verse 39. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this up toward generation. And I think I read the wrong verse. Acts 2, chapter, verse 29. Excuse me. Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is within us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, it would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. So here's indication at his birth, at his death, and that it was even prophesied back in Isaiah. Go back to Isaiah chapter 34. Isaiah chapter 34. Page 972 in the Companion Bible. And here we find it even hundreds of years prior prophecy with regard to what is being spoken of here with regard to dividing the sheep and the goats. Chapter 34, verse 1. Come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. At this point, we're looking at the second coming of Christ. At that point, love and mercy pretty much cease to be. Here in this that we read in Matthew, he sits in wrath and judgment. It's not going to be pretty. To separate the sheep from the goats, whatever that might be, and cast the goats into everlasting fire and eternal punishment prepared for Satan and his angels. It is reminiscent, if you'll remember, that we read there when we were studying the parables in Matthew. It pretty much tracks along about the parable of separating the tares from the wheat. Here we have a different illustration of symbols of the sheep and the goats. But what is going on here? That's what we want to look at this morning with the sheep and the goats. Well, first, let me just caution you. It's not what you think. When you read that, you think there's two groups here, the sheep and the goats. But that's not true. There's three classes, three groups here in this that we read there in Matthew. The question is, who are the sheep? How did those sheep extract themselves from the ranks of the goats? What makes these sheep righteous. If you notice there, they were considered to be righteous. Then another question arises, who are the nations? Today, this parable, as it is mostly used as a basis for social gospel. Many religious circles use this for a gospel of works and human merit. I was even a part of one of those gospels in the prison ministry that I had a part in for a long time, knowing the truth, but realizing that we were presenting the gospel, but that the message that was talked about with regard to these verses was not true. It goes like this. If you are kind and help people in their difficulties, you will be saved. In other words, you won't be a goat if you'll help the least of these people. And this produces a gospel of good works, which is completely foreign to Scripture, and it's not true. It is not the teaching of this parable that we read here in Matthew. Well, you say, Redmond, then what does it teach? Well, first, there are several things that I want to point out for your thinking. The first thing that I would point to is the word nations. It in the Greek is the word ethnia. It is much broader than just a country with boundaries. It is also translated in several places a people, nations, ethne, a people. In Galatians, as a matter of fact, it is even translated Gentiles, surprisingly. It comes into the English in our language as the word ethnic, which is, of course, a group of people. The word does not require necessarily that it be nations as we think of them, first of all, in a political or a governmental state. And so here in looking at this parable, because of this word, we cannot be as rigid as to think only governments and states. We have to think in regards to a people. It is people, true, within the nations. The second thing I would point out, why? Well, because some here are described as righteous. If you notice in that first group, the sheep were described as righteous. And it does not stand to reason that all one nation could be such. All 100% of the nation could be righteous, or 100% could be unrighteous. In all the nations, you're going to find some who are righteous and believe, and some who are not. Furthermore, God would not judge a person because he happened to be born as a citizen in a nation of goats. Especially so when we know that righteousness is not earned by being kind or visiting people in prison, those referred to here as the least of these. It always makes me cringe when they talk about the least of these. It's as though in the prison ministry that I was in, it was as though they were lesser degree and not worthy, least of these. So a nation of millions could not be wholly one or the other, all sheep or all goats. The third thing that I would point out, if you notice here, there's no resurrection spoken about. These people that the Lord is dealing with, these nations that have been called together, are alive and being on earth during the tribulation time. They are there at his coming when they are called, as it talked about there in Isaiah. The fourth thing I would point out is the illustration or the symbol of sheep. You know from all of the things that we've studied that sheep are a symbol of what? They're a symbol of the nation of Israel. They're an illustration of the nation of Israel. But here in Matthew, we'll see that it designates more than just the nation. Actually, the terminology here is as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. But we must remember that the Lord revealed that he had other sheep. Do you remember that? We've brought that up before. The Lord had other sheep other than the nation of Israel, which were symbolically sheep. And he was the great shepherd, of course. Just so you know, that's not just Redmond speaking. Turn to John chapter 10, verse 16. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 16. The Lord speaking, "And other sheep have I which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." We find the same thing over in the book of Acts. Turn to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. Beginning with verse 14. "Simon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name." Take out of them a people for his name. Here we have an indication that there's something other than just the nation. And what it is, it's Christian Gentiles. These are some of those saved Gentiles who are not in the church of the one body. They are reckoned as sheep by the Lord. So here's the surprising thing. In these verses, now it talks about the nations being gathered together and separating the sheep and the goats. It does not include Israel. They are never described as the nations or even referred to as the nations. They are referred to as a nation. So in these verses that we're looking at, we're not talking about two groups, sheep and the goats. There's a third class. And you say, well, where do you get that? Well, turn in your Bibles to Numbers chapter 23. Numbers chapter 23. Numbers chapter 23, verse 9. For from the top of the rocks I see, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations. So, therefore, cannot be considered in the judgment of Matthew 25. The nation is not of Israel, is not considered to be a part of the nations of whole. I would point out that the church of the one body is not included either. Why? Because at Christ's second coming, the church of the one body has already been resurrected. So in this parable, there's two groups that are not included. The Jewish nation is not part of the what is referred to as the sheep. And the church of the one body is not included in this because they've already been taken out before the second coming. Therefore, we must allow for a strong Gentile element to be linked with redeemed Israel. Don't forget, it was declared to Abraham that all families of the earth could be blessed through his posterity. The sixth thing I would point out is we must understand that even though judgment here is pretty harsh, God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the hearts and mind. He is therefore a perfect discriminator. He can righteously discriminate between sheep and goats for whatever purpose. Man can only judge by the external actions, and it may not accurately reflect the interior mind or the belief of a person. So the key then to understanding what is happening here with these goats and these sheep, and this term, the least of these, comes from verse 37 and 40. Go back to Matthew now, chapter 25. Matthew 25. In verse 37, then shall the righteous answer him, the Lord, when he saw thee, hungered and fed thee, or thirst and gave thee drink. Here, this first group is righteous. They are believers. And they are in the earth. And when Christ comes and says, ye didn't do this, and they said, well, how can you, we haven't ever seen you thirsty and in prison. How could we possibly be accused of what you're telling us? They've never seen Christ before. And so he says in verse 40, and the king answered and said unto him, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren. Ye have done it unto me. My brethren, the Jewish people. Here the Lord mentions their outward actions, which expresses their inward attitude of mind towards my brethren. Who are my brethren? Well, here the Lord is surrounded by Jews and was a Jew himself. He is here pointing to these brothers, the Jewish people. In spite of all their failings, he still looks upon them, even at this time, as a chosen nation. set aside. Remember, in Genesis chapter 12 tells us that he will bless them who bless Israel and curse them who curse them. And this is what he is referring to, those of the nations that are sheep and believers and labeled as sheep are righteous and blessed. Why? Because they believe and because their treatment of the nation, which he refers to as my brethren, and the least of these are what's being mentioned here. So here, those who are counted sheep, the Lord first calls them righteous ones, and they're Gentiles. They're those other sheep that the Lord brings into the fold because of their belief. And those that believed and were brought into this fold and treated the nation of Israel kindly have something other than salvation. They have a reward. The goats do not. And it's not for their efforts towards Israel, but because of their belief. If you notice in those first, that first group, they're considered to be blessed and righteous. It is the way they have treated these my brethren that decides their reward, and it's not salvation. They are given a place in the earthly kingdom as a reward. And it's a whole other study with regard to what occurs from that point. But more than likely, it's my thinking that they are more than likely changed in the blink of an eye. And they participate in the kingdom that is to come. To the contrary, what does it say about the goats? Those who mistreated the brethren, whose minds were not touched by belief, are cast into an everlasting punishment. And get it in your mind, that is not everlasting torment. Punishment and torment are two different things. Everlasting punishment is the result of not being present in the face of the living God. If that's the ultimate victory, the ultimate reward is the eternity in the face of your Creator, then the ultimate punishment would be not there and in an unconscious state or dead. Remember, that does not mean, like I say, torture is different than everlasting punishment. So, at the death of these other Gentiles that have been called, at their death, somewhere during the millennial kingdom, which might only be 10, 5, 1 year, whatever, they just go into hell or the grave. They die. But the sheep are given a reward, and I think it has to do with it because they're going to be a part of the kingdom. They're going to have eternal life. And I want to do something different today with some of these explanations. I want to go back now and read again with some of this understanding as to who the sheep and the goats are, and the fact that we're talking about three classes of people here and not just two, and see what an understanding of these things does for a portion of Scripture. I think when you read it this time, you'll look at it differently than you've ever looked at it before. So turn back to Matthew chapter 25. Start where we started before. Verse 31. It reads, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit on the throne of his glory. And before him shall gather all nations." All nations, but not Israel, based on what we read in Numbers. "And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. And then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom for you from the foundations of the world." And those are Gentiles. And the fact that it says from the foundations of the world indicates that the church of the one body has nothing to do here. Because why? The church of the one body was determined before the foundations of the world. And at this point, they have already been resurrected in what is referred to as the out resurrection, before the second coming. Verse 35, "For I was hungered and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger and ye took me in. Naked and ye clothed me. I was sick and ye visited me. I was in prison and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger and fed thee, or thirst and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison?" How can that be? We've never seen you before. You show up on the scene here and ask us these questions. Verse 40, "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of these, one of the least of these, my brethren, ye shall have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and the angels. For I was hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. And then shall they also ask the same answer, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered or hurt?" You know, they didn't ever see this. "Naked or sick or in prison and did not minister unto thee. And then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto eternal life." The two groups are nations, Israel, or Gentile nations. Some believe, some don't believe. Some of the nations treated Israel, his brethren, properly, kindly, and others did not. This occurs at the end of the week 70 of Daniel's prophecy in Daniel 9. This treatment that's being spoken of here probably is during the tribulation time, when there's a small remnant of God's people at that time that are the focus of the persecution of the nation of Israel. I think probably maybe you need to study this a little bit further. Don't take my word for it. But study to show yourself approved. Search and see if you can see any difference in what is being spoken of here. And you will grow in the grace and the knowledge of him if you do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your written word. We ask that you would continue to give us open hearts and minds that we may grow in the grace and the knowledge of you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.